Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, Wowie, a 2008 film directed by Andrew Stanton. Michelle, this was your pick this week. Explain why.
I read a great essay about it on the Criterion website.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Charlie Chaplin Day.
Yes, it was Charlie Chaplin Day on the 16th of April, which was 2 days ago for us. And in the essay, kind of compares Wally to kind of a Chaplin-esque character.
Mm-hmm.
Very little dialogue, physical comedy, stuff like that. Very sweet. You empathize with them a lot. You know,
mm-hmm.
all the things.
Well, I haven't seen it since it originally came out years and years ago, and I quite liked it. I thought it's a very fun movie, and the minimal dialogue absolutely works in its favor. As I guess like a kids movie, so you don't have to listen to like any great explanations for
kids.
You know
that they watched every Charlie Chaplin movie and Buster Keaton movie at lunch for about 18 months.
That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense because all the physical comedy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It has like a significantly larger number of storyboards than any other Pixar movie.
Also makes a lot of sense because so much there's no dialogue for like the first like good 40 minutes of the film. All of the physical comedy stuff was fantastic and they use it not just to like be like physical comedy but also ground the story and as to the world building, because he's fumbling around with all these everyday objects, but the fact that they're everyday objects in the desolate world adds the sense of like, oh, it's like, oh, melancholy to the entire thing. It's like, oh, he's a pure soul in a world that's completely broken, but not completely broken, as I guess it gets revealed later. Yusuf, what did you think about this one?
It's really cute.
It is.
I like that. It's just made me feel like a child again. So I just. Like, there's absolutely nothing you could say about it. That's sort of what it is. That and Ratatouille maybe may have been my, like, favorite Pixars, I think.
Yes, this is the golden the best Pixar period, I guess. Because, I think, the stuff, what, this came out in 2008, Toy Story 3 came out the next year?
I don't even like Toy Story 3.
Yeah. Did you like Up?
That's, like, the... I've never seen.
You've never seen Up. Okay, Up is pretty good.
No.
It's another fun. It's a straight adventure story. So I think you'll get something out of that.
So in the essay I read, it compares it with Samuel Beckett as well as Charlie Chaplin, and it says
what?
Both Chaplin and Beckett start with the same question: what am I, a cosmic tramp, going to do with all this time and space? But where Beckett answers with madness, Chaplin, like Wally, answers with wonder. What if I stuck two forks into these bread rolls and made dancing feet?
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's such a good essay.
Wow.
I know, right? It's a good essay.
I guess more to the idea like Chaplin is, the fact that Chaplin is universal, right? He speaks to his comedy and his antics speak to common humanity. The same goes for Wally, right? There is, and I think that's further emphasis of the fact that there is no dialogue. Anybody from any corner of the world can watch this and understand the story.
Everything's
perfect. You don't need to know English. It's accessible to absolutely everybody. And the message, I think, even especially now, is becoming even more prevalent. It's like, oh wow, we haven't shifted away from this course whatsoever. Like, we're really gonna we're gonna become this. I think it's at this point it's kind of inevitable.
I don't think we'd be organized enough to send everyone to space.
Oh no!
It would be rich people only, like in that, what was the Jennifer Lawrence film?
Oh, Don't Look Up.
That one.
Yeah, it would be just rich people on an ark. Yeah.
Which I think that was partly influenced by Wall-E.
Yeah.
Got sent off on a ship and they come back.
Yeah, they come back. Yeah.
Wow, the newspaper that's shown at the beginning of the film has a photo of Shelby Forthright, BNL CEO, doing the infamous Richard Nixon resignation hand sign. So Richard Nixon has just become a symbol for evil.
Incompetent, disgraced leader. I love the idea of embedding there is some live action elements, so all of the posts and the messages, right, that's recorded for humanity, it's all done in live action. And then they made the point of all the captain portraits that they go from relatively realistic human like human caricatures to the cartoonish like whale people that you see. I love that touch. It's like, oh, we grew up from our reality, but we're so distanced from it because we just never had to do anything. We just got so fat. Yeah, it was great.
In the essay as well, it talks about Wally being like a movie watcher. Like he's just watching and listening to everything he can. And then like, and when he immediately tries to share the film with Eve, the Hello Dolly film, so they can experience it together. And that's like,
that's the common, the bonding thing.
That's the
thing.
Communication, because it's so limited.
And what does she do to try waking him up at the end?
She plays
on the movie. She's like, oh, maybe this will like kind of get him up. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the way the movie weaves without also, but even, like there's little dialogue even when they board the ship because all the robots don't actually speak, but then they give them so much personality within that as well. It's like I love how the ragtag group that they lead at the end is, but it's all the dysfunctional little robots. Kind of feels very Tramp like a Tramp storyline, because when he's leading them on like the little march, it felt very like, what was it, City Lights?
No. Modern times.
It felt very modern times.
He accidentally starts a riot.
Yeah, he starts a riot, and then there's the class kind of divide that kind of is already prevalent within the different types of robots. Which is a cleaning bot.
It's also like it kind of begs you to feel the empathy with you, like Charlie Chaplin does, and just like when Wally's injured, you feel really sad.
Yeah,
and you like really root for him, just like the same.
This made me wish Pixar did more science fiction stuff, because all of the spaceship designs, oh, beautiful, loved all of it. It felt so immaculate, and also it's weird to say this in the animated film. The cinematography, there are multiple shots that these zooms that are made to mimic real camera tricks and little focus, depth of field focus stuff that Pixar has been applying since like Toy Story 2. I thought was incredibly effective here, because all of the Earth stuff looks almost photorealistic. The desolation and the lighting feels super realistic. And the way it bounces off, because there are robots, the different metallic textures that each robot has.
Mm.
So the light kind of glistens around Eve, but on Wally, so it's more harshly reflected. I loved all that. So beautiful.
And I think this... Like the stuff where one of the humans said, oh, I didn't even know we had a pool, because they don't look beyond their screens.
Yeah. It's like the two couple, because they accidentally disabled the screens, they're able to kind of experience life for the first time. They're not always hooked up to the feed. This is actually a movie about how you should get off Twitter, but
which I feel like it has.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
That's such a good point.
It has a weird kind of feeling now that AI is kind of taking off too.
Hmm.
When all of, like, AI even took over everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Controlling
the humans in it.
And the idea that, oh, the AI's here because he doesn't want them to go home, because it's simply just the orders. It's just like, no, we shouldn't go home, because it's the easier thing to do to not go back and try and restart it than to keep living this life. Yeah, basically infantilized state.
And there were so many references to, like, famous sci-fi movies. You know, like with the highways.
HAL.
Yeah, very
HAL.
Much a HAL, yeah.
Like the highways were like the THX.
Yeah.
Oh.
Even the robots, the little droids.
Yeah.
And the music at times feel a little bit real John Williams-y. As soon as they get to space, it feels a little bit Star Wars-y, which I appreciate. Wow, remember when Pixar used to make good movies instead of. Let's look at their...
What are you talking about? They make the
Soul.
Right? That's good.
That's all right.
They made the...
Toy Story 4 is really good. I think I like it more than 3.
There's a 4?
Yeah, there's a 4. And it's better because it's more mature. And I don't know. I thought it's much better than the third one. But who saw Lightyear?
They did Coca.
Coca.
Oh, I forgot that existed.
It's Coca.
That oh my god, what a Lightyear. That was supposed to be a big deal.
And it flopped.
The,
I don't know if it flopped, but
yes, it's
The Incredibles 2 also just fizzled.
They did a lot of sequels.
It was a good movie, but it just vanished. Yeah,
It could
they're not as
still good.
like culturally relevant
Because stuff
as
like
before,
Luca
I
turning
guess.
red at Lightyear, I think they were kind of struggling to find like a film that could recapture this, the wide appeal.
Moana, was that them?
Moana was them.
That was Disney.
Wait. Oh yeah, that's Disney. That's
Well,
Disney.
aren't they the same thing now? Or is
It's
there
still
like
two separate
oh yeah,
studios.
there's different. Okay.
All right, Lightyear would have
Yeah,
made
there's
money
separate
if would
ones.
have made money if it didn't cost $200 million to make.
What?
It cost
How?
$200 million. It made
Why?
226, so it didn't really break even or like.
Inside Out 2. That's so funny they're doing another one.
Oh my god.
What is it about? Is this, what other emotions are they gonna like
There's
introduce?
like emotions inside the emotions.
I keep zooming into their
That's
heads.
how. Turning Red. I don't know what that is.
It's the one set in Toronto.
Onward. What's that? There's so many of them
Yeah, they
now.
keep
It's
making
kind
them.
of. It just like kind of. I don't know. Dilutes the brand now.
I agree. It just feels like they're struggling to really like figure out what they can do. The story's moved forward. But anyways, you
Think
said.
after Toy Stories 3,
Yeah.
it kind of all went downhill. Because there's Cars 2,
Oh
and
my
then there's a
god.
bunch of things I don't recognize.
Cars 2 is the one where they decide to make
What's.
a spy movie suddenly, right? Like, oh, now it's.
Oh,
Yeah,
really?
no. Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
With their cars.
Interestingly enough, I want to bring up this director did WALL-E, and then he did his. He had it, like Brad Bird, he had his first live action stint in the early 2000s, 2010s, with John Carter, which bombed, which is
Yeah.
the one of the most notable bombs
Oh,
in
yeah, I
Hollywood
remember
history.
that. Yeah.
And.
I remember that. It stars True Detective Season 2 alum Taylor Kitsch or
Kid.
whatever.
I can
Yeah.
tell which story we've been watching lately. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You said you had a segment you want to introduce.
Yes, I had a new segment. It's called Google Reviews. Anyone can be Roger Ebert. So this one is from Mac Lyon. It's 10 months ago. His avatar is the Joker from The Dark Knight. He gives it a 2 stars. The movie was simply boring. Yes, it foreshadows a future we may have with AI and technology taking over. That's kind of a good point.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a great on optics with its Pixar presentation. I didn't read any of that wrong. Okay, that's how
Great
it's
on
written.
optics.
Yes, it's original for robots starring in a Disney movie, I believe, with minimal dialogue. Yes, WALL-E and Eve were relatively cute characters. Full stop. But it was still boring. Capital B. Okay. WALL-E wasn't interesting. I've seen many Disney movies and love many. Okay, this isn't a Disney movie. From the beginning, there is nothing that just says, ooh, I want to see more. This is 3 O's, 1 H. Anyways, WALL-E meets Eve and he instantly likes Eve's like, oh, okay, for what? Why should I really care? Should is SHUD. For instance, Cruella. Immediately, you're interested in her journey. What about WALL-E? Gets you immediately excited about it. Please tell me, lol. I can't feel or see the hype at all, lol. Zootopia, immediately interested in the journey and the character. Anyways, he doesn't like it. Only reason I give it a while is because people have given it 10 out of 5 stars. So it's gotta be good for something, right? Lol. Three people found this helpful. Anyways, that was for the new segment I'm debuting.
That's very good. I think it helps to have like to have the public consensus, like the
Yeah.
public chime in on
That's
this.
true, because we don't want to just listen to the elites like
Exactly.
Roger Ebert.
Exactly.
But I found something really funny in the Roger Ebert review.
Oh,
He
okay.
says, everything has a stylistic twist to give it flair, and a lot of thought must have gone into design of WALL-E, for whom I felt a curious affection. Consider this hunk of tin beside the Kung Fu panda. The panda was all but special ordered to be lovable, but on reflection, I think he was so fat it wasn't funny anymore. Which is such a weird thing to say.
He was
Just
too fat to be like,
randomly. It just all of a sudden starts fat shaming a fictional panda. Anyways, that's all I have.
That's great.
Nice.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this segment. Join us soon. Bye-bye. Stick a break. And we're back. No. That's Step Right Up. Seven reels.
Seven.
Seven? Wow. You like that much?
Yeah.
You give it a six.
I'm going to go six because that it's like Cruella.
It's exactly. It doesn't hit. Yeah. It doesn't grab your attention immediately like
the I was intrigued immediately.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I'm like Cruella.
Which we, none of us have seen, I'm assuming. Emma Stone, Jesus, what happened? Like, she won the Oscar and then I'll do Cruella. Okay.
Still make some cash.
And then nothing else. Literally nothing else. Okay. What have we been watching this week? Yusuf, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I watched a lot of stuff because I feel stressed out. So when I do that, I just like zone out in front of the TV. And so I watched all of Chernobyl with my dad, who he loved it.
Did you like it?
I liked it. I thought
he
it was cool.
It.
But
I think it was pretty good.
Everyone just said it was too good. So I felt like, you know, need to poke holes in it. And my dad just...
Yeah.
Annoyed. But anyways, then the best thing I've watched, I think, maybe in years, Yellow Jackets. Holy shit.
Wow.
I love
you liked it?
It?
I'm so
it's
cool.
so
I'm
creepy
so glad you like
and fun.
And fun. And fun. It's so funny.
How do they... The tone is like Coen Brothers meets, you know...
A more teenager.
Yeah.
Like,
it meets like Lord
But it balances that
flies.
So perfectly. I think like cutting between two periods is... a genius move because you never by the time the teenagers get a little bit gritty and annoying you cut to the present you get to follow something completely different you're like oh okay thank
the
god
the format is fascinating like it's perfect I didn't think it would be this good it's better than anything on HBO and it's Showtime I can't believe that
it's Showtime and it's a teenage show with and they're not annoying
yeah
And you kind of like all of them. It's
I love
wonderful.
All of them. I love their, like, especially the more wholesome scenes, like when they're in the pilot, when she's like, oh, you'd say one nice thing about you, the other, and they start saying nice things.
Yeah.
And then the mysterious, creepy boy that's, all of that stuff.
And they never explained, four episodes into season two.
I'm in episode...
And they haven't explained any of the supernatural stuff.
I'm in episode four of season one, so it feels like Twin Peaks and Community and Coen Brothers in one show, and I'm having so much fun watching it.
It gets better and better, but the supernatural stuff takes more of a precedence in the survival arc, I guess because it has to, because that's the main intrigue.
Okay, well,
but
I don't want to know anymore. I don't want to know.
It gets better and better.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
And aren't they all perfectly cast?
Yeah.
Like the past and present versions of each other. They all lined up. Christina Ricci is perfect, and that girl are the most successful ones, because they really do feel like the same person.
I don't like the Natalie. She doesn't look like her.
Yes, that's the only one that doesn't fit. Melan Linsky, that was perfect with her and her like past version. Yeah, can't wait for you to finish the rest of it. It's great.
I'm so excited.
It's great. All right, what did we watch? Oh, we watched The Pope's Exorcist starring Russell Crowe.
Oh, okay.
The movie that directly implies that the Spanish Inquisition and child molestation within the Vatican all occurred not because of humanity, but because Satan has possessed the post exorcist and has been wrecking havoc in the Vatican. That's legitimately an explanation they give in the movie. And then it also implies that Russell Crowe rode a Vespa all the way from Rome to this like distant remote town in Spain. Like, that's a long distance. I don't know if a Vespa's gonna cover it.
Power of the Lord.
He has the power of the Lord, and he speaks Italian for
I can't wait to see this. I'm so excited.
It's amazing. At the same time, it's not stupid or crazy enough to warrant, like, it didn't get as stupid enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping for, like, more inane, just random, like, horror, Sam Raimi bullshit. But there's some of that, but there isn't enough, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then by the end, the last minute, they, in a futile attempt to set up a sequel, they try to do something, and it doesn't work.
How explicitly do they talk about the molesting and stuff like that?
Not very.
Literally one line addressing it. All those hot children that we molested. Okay, oh, like, okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
there you go. Ticked off the box.
It's a little tasteless.
Catholic.
To
and the Pope is played
yeah.
by Frank Nero, the original Django in those spaghetti westerns. So like the casting's very like it's very distracting. I was like, oh my god,
it's
why
so
are you good. Here? Russell Crowe's Italian sounds pretty good. I was like, it'd be weird if he learned Italian just for this movie. Maybe he knows Italian, and he's obviously having a blast. His one scene when he's running, and he perfectly understands that he's not an action star anymore. So it really just looks like this fat old dad, like waddling side by side as he runs down a corridor. It was adorable. I kind of love that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we watched Step Brothers last night. That was fun too. Michelle hasn't seen it in a long while.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot how funny Adam Scott is in it. He's great. He has the one line in it that we can't repeat on the podcast because it's too offensive for 2023. All right, that brings us to our recommendations. What do we have?
I'm gonna recommend my favorite Pixar movie, or a second, I guess maybe a tie with this one, Ratatouille.
Mm-hmm.
Love Ratatouille.
Is that Brad? Do you think that's Brad Bird's best movie?
It's close.
Yeah, I think
it's close.
So it's good.
Yeah. It's that or Mission Impossible, the Mission Impossible he did.
Yeah. Incredibles?
Incredibles, yeah. Alright. My recommendation is Metropolis.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Why?
It's also another future where like humanity has gone amok. And the machines and stuff like that. And ultimately the machines having a little bit more humanity than like people themselves. Yeah.
I mean, I've got to recommend a Chaplin because it's Chaplin.
Yeah.
I don't know whether to go with City Lights or Modern Times, but maybe City Lights because I feel like the love story kind of matches up with that a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So what are we watching next time?
Whose turn is it to pick?
Yusuf.
Oh, it's my turn?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I forgot. Phantom Thread or Licorice Pizza? What do you guys think? Okay.
And then there's more to talk about. With
Let's do Phantom Thread. Sweet.
All right. Very cool. Then we'll catch you all next week for Phantom Thread. Remember to eat a big, delicious breakfast.
Yeah.
Here we go. If you've seen a movie, you'll know what I'm talking
and be
about.
Be mean to
right.
your wife.
Eating mushrooms.
And be mean to your wife and have her. Well, never mind.
Yeah,
I shouldn't spoil the entire movie.
From the omelets. You know what I mean.
Yes.
That's it.
Join us next week on Phantom Thread. Bye-bye.
The Seventh Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf El-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya El-Bashir. Thanks for listening.